Good evening. My name is Gemma, and it's a real privilege to speak with you this evening. For those who don't know me, I'm from Leighton Buzzard, and much to my horror, my children have started to speak like they come from there and all. Originally, I'm from Yorkshire, so I always like to add that in. Got to love a bit of the north. A while ago, when Emma mentioned about speaking this evening, I don't know if it's helpful or unhelpful, but she said, you can speak on whatever you want, which sounds great, and then you go, oh. But fortunately for you, as soon as she said it, I knew immediately something that the Lord had been brewing in my heart for a little while. And as I've reflected and prayed over that, God's kind of tied it together and grown it. And so hopefully this evening I can share with you a bit of what the Lord's been speaking to me about and been growing me in. And I just hope that this evening that your hearts are just open to receive from him and to hear what he wants to speak to you. And I know that through this process, God's really spoken to me. And if it just stays that way, then that's great. But it would also be really good if he could just encourage your hearts as well this evening. And this week's been a pretty rough week for various reasons. And I think I want to take that as an encouragement that actually the Lord does want to speak to us this evening. Because I think if it all been smooth and swimmingly perfect and stuff hadn't had to be left to the last minute, then, I don't know, it would have just been too nice, wouldn't it? But the fact that it was more of a battle, I just took real encouragement from it that actually God wants to speak into our hearts. And so let me just pray just before I get into things. Father, we thank you that in all things you are sovereign. And Lord, as we come to hear about you, Lord, I pray our hearts would just be open to you. And Father, I pray that we would hear what you're wanting to say and put down what you want us to put down. Lord, just speak into our hearts this evening. Father, may we be challenged in our walk with you to love you more and grow in our relationship with you. Amen. Okay, so the verse I wanted to speak to you on this evening is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31, but focusing really on verse 30, which you'll know as soon as I say it. And it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So it was verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. That God really started to lay in my heart. And I'm sure many of you have heard people talk on this verse probably more times than you care to remember. And you've heard all kinds of things about it, as I have. And but just as I was reflecting and just in what I felt God was putting in my heart, it just kind of came down to one thing, really. And that was that, in essence, how do we love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength? Is that we worship. And that we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So the first thing I wanted to touch on, not quite in the order of the verse, and hopefully you'll understand why as I go through. Excuse me. Is I want to touch on loving the Lord with our minds. How can we love someone if we don't know them? How can we love God with our mind if we don't know him? Our minds are places for thinking and for knowledge. And if we want to love God with our minds, then we need to be filling it with the knowledge of him. And where are we going to find that? We're going to find that in his word. So we need to be making sure that we're reading his word, spending time in his word to find out who he is, and so that we have the knowledge of who he is. There have been many times in my Christian walk where I've been challenged about knowing the Bible better, and I'm sure that anyone who's been a Christian for any length of time, whether it's 2 minutes, 2 years, 20 years or whatever, there's been seasons where we've been challenged about knowing God's word better. And a few years ago, I was suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder, having had a ruptured appendix in Zambia. I should have used some of these. That would have been... having had a ruptured appendix in Zambia where I almost died twice and had numerous allergic reactions, and it was a hideous, hideous, hideous experience I never wish to repeat ever in my life. And so that set off PTSD. And about 2 years after the worst of the anxiety, the irrational fear, the memory issues, the numbness to life, and all that that brought with it, as that was starting to fade and I was starting to feel like I was myself again, whatever that meant exactly. But I felt I was coming back to my old self, and I began to feel that the Lord was challenging me about his word. And I was so frustrated that I couldn't actually remember what I was reading, which I know that can happen without having had all that experience. You can read the Bible and not remember 5 minutes later. But that was my constant, that I just couldn't remember. And I was desperately wanting the Lord to bring his word alive to me and bring me back to life through his word. And so I had this idea of reading through the Bible from start to finish. And I didn't want to do it in a year. I'd done that before and I knew it was a little bit intense and I wasn't really in the place for being so intense. So I found a reading plan to do it in 2 years. And long story short, I got several people to join me in that journey and we had a really amazing time, and we finished that on the 25th of February this year. Praise the Lord. It was actually a really good time together, and we had a Facebook group and we wrote comments and questions and just challenged and walked each other through that journey of going through the Bible. And it was really brilliant time together, and God taught me so much through that journey. But it was one of the things that God spoke to me about that inspired my initial thoughts about this evening, and that was about God revealing himself through his word. Page after page, he describes who he is. He displays his character. He talks about his holiness, his justice, the fact that he's a creator God, that he holds all things in his hands. He's compared to Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt. In the Psalms, David extols the Lord's power and majesty. The prophets proclaim his wrath and justice. The Gospels unfold his character in the person and work of Jesus. And the book of Revelation displays his dominion over all things. And there's so, so, so much more. I mean, you've got 66 books in one. Like, I could be here just saying all the stuff that's in there. But it's a book that tells us who he is and what he stands for and what he's like. And I think that as we look in the church, that many, many, many people within the church are actually biblically illiterate. And because they haven't taken time to know what God's word actually says. And I think that's one of the questions I want to point to you this evening. I'm not wanting to insult you and say you're illiterate. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just wanting to point you and say, do you know what God's word says? Do you know what God's word says about you? Do you know what it says about him? Quite often we rely on second-hand teachings such as sermons, which is great, they are good. But we need more than that in our Christian diet, because we need to be able to discern, is this what it says? Is it not what it says? We don't want to take things out of context to twist it to make it mean something else. We need to be reading the Bible for ourselves, because we need to know for ourselves who God says he is, so that we can worship him. So that we can worship him for who he says it is. Not what so-and-so next door says who he is, but so you know who he is, so you can worship him fully with your mind, knowing in your mind who he is. We need to let his words speak to us. We're all disciples of Jesus, and to be a disciple means that we're a learner. And so as disciples, we're called to learn, and funnily enough, learning requires effort. So to read our Bible, it does require effort. But that's how we're going to know who God is, so that we can know, so that we're able to worship him. And I don't know about you, but I've still got a lot to learn. You know, you can pick the Bible up and every single time you can learn something new. But when was the last time you spent reading the Bible or studying the Bible? I hope that this evening, whatever season you're passing through, that this can be an encouragement to you to spend more time in your Bible daily so that you can know the Lord more, so that you can worship him in the way that he wants you, engaging your mind in the truth of who he is. But having knowledge is not worth anything if it's not used rightly. It's not an academic exercise. I'm not saying, oh, let's read our Bible so we can know stuff. No, it's about letting God's word come alive to us. It's about knowing who he is. We don't want to be puffed up and end up with knowledge and rationalism as idols, because that can easily happen, that we just want to fill our head with knowledge, because it can lead us into pride. We need a good balance of word and spirit in our lives. Knowing God's word enables us to know more of who he is, which helps us to love God for who he is. It enables us to worship because we know the truth. Our knowledge of God isn't fickle because it's based on truth. Regardless of how we feel, it remains true, which means we continue to love God and worship God no matter what is going on in our life, because it's true. He doesn't change yesterday, today, forever. He remains the same. And it's not about us and our feelings. It's about him and who he is. And the truth of his word doesn't change. And so we can continue to love him in that way and worship him in that way, because that's the truth. Loving God with our mind feeds into our hearts. I was reading a devotion from this book the other day, which I recommend for anyone that knows of any, I don't know, probably 6-plus-ish children. It's quite a good devotional to do with them. And it's full of all amazing facts. And in this one, it's, you know the saying, you are what you eat. Well, that saying is true of flamingos. I didn't realise this. But believe it or not, flamingos are not born pink. They are actually born grey. And what it is that makes them pink is the beta-carotene in the shrimp and the algae that they eat, and that turns them pink, which maybe you knew that. I did not know that. So I was quite like, wow, that's quite amazing. And because they eat so much of it, it changes their feathers. But the same can be said about you. Not that you're going to turn pink. Well, I mean, you might. If you remember the thing about Sunny D all those years ago, people started to turn orange. Sorry for those young ones in the room. I was probably your age when that was a thing. the things we take in, the things that we hear, the things that we see, the things that we think become part of who we are. The things that we watch, the things that we read, what we do on the internet, how we talk. Do they honour God? What we let in shapes us. What we fill ourselves with shapes us. They enhance or inhibit our ability to love God fully, because it impacts our heart, it impacts our inner, and it flows through us. I want to say subconsciously, but it's not kind of subconsciously, but we're not necessarily aware of what we fill ourselves with is what we can become. We want our hearts to be consumed and apprehended by things. And God knows this. That's why he put desires in each of us. If you think about the things that many people spend their time and energy on, the hobbies and interests and relationships, people want to be consumed by stuff all the time. It's the way that we are. And actually, God made us to be consumed by him. People are looking for things to captivate them and bring them a sense of fulfillment. And I think it was interesting that when Jesus lays out all the commandments for mankind, he starts with loving the Lord with all of your heart, and then continues down the rest of the shortlist. That head knowledge alone doesn't cut it. Acquiring knowledge doesn't cut it. We don't want the knowledge to give us fat heads but leave us with malnourished hearts. It's futile. I know in my life, and maybe you know people like this as well, there's people who might have a very good Bible knowledge. They might be able to quote you stuff left, right, and centre. But actually, there's no joy in their life. There's no hope in their life. It's just all this knowledge stuff. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to use the knowledge to shape our hearts, to shape our lives. Otherwise, it's just head knowledge and religion. Trying to live in our own strength, it doesn't transform us. We need to allow God to transform our hearts by His Spirit. And we should want Him to do that. Maybe this evening you feel that could be you. Maybe you think, oh, once this Christian malarkey was full of joy and now it's gone. Or once it was full of joy and it's wet. Excuse me a second. Got a super dry throat. And it's waned. Or maybe you've never really known that joy. Maybe it's all just been about a head relationship. But I just want to encourage you that if you think that is you, ask the Lord just to fill you afresh with His Spirit. Ask the Lord just to revive your heart and bring it back to life, to transform your heart. And after this, there will be a time to pray. Maybe if that's you this evening, then I'd encourage you just to find someone to pray with you. If you're feeling dry, And that joy's gone. It comes by the Spirit, transforming the knowledge of God in our hearts, stirring our passion for Him. God wants us to love Him with our whole hearts. He wants our hearts to be consumed by Him. He seeks our devotion, and not as an outward show, but in the stillness and the privacy of our own hearts, He seeks that devotion. In 1 Samuel 16, the Bible tells us that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at our hearts. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your heart, the things that shape you, your passions, your desires. He's interested in that. And He wants you to use those things to love Him. There's a great example of this in Luke 21. Which I'm sure is a story you all know about the widow. And there's all the people giving all this money. And she just comes in and gives 2 coins. And no one really notices. But Jesus declared, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Which seems like a crazy statement because she only put in 2 coins and they put in loads. But it sounds ridiculous until we understand that Jesus is looking way beyond the coins themselves, and He's looking at her heart. He sees that these tiny coins were gladly given. It was all she had to live on. It's a costly, faithful offering of her heart, unnoticed by all around her except for Jesus. She could have given just one and kept the other to live on, giving 50% of all she had, but she didn't. She gave it all. What about you? Are you prepared to love God with your whole heart like this widow? Or in reality, are we just loving Him half-heartedly? Are we giving all that we've got to Him? Or are we holding something back for whatever reason? Maybe we know it's not what He wants for us. Maybe it's because we're too obsessed with ourselves and our own needs. I don't know. But just something to think about. We need to remember that we're living for an audience of one. Are we passionate about God and His kingdom and sold out for Him and having our hearts 100% consumed with love for Him? We need to take the attitude of David in Psalm 86, which says, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever." We should be praying this over ourselves and over each other. That God would teach us His way, that we'd rely on His faithfulness, that He would give us an undivided heart. That our heart wouldn't be half sold off to something else and half to Him. Know that we could give Him our whole heart and love Him with our whole hearts, because that's what He requires of us. It's costly, but that's what He asks of us. But again, it comes back down to worship. When we lift our eyes in worship, our perspective shifts everything looks a little bit different in the light of a glorious God who reigns in love and wisdom and power and gave everything for you. As our perspective shifts, it helps us grow in passion for him and love him more fully. I'm sure most of you have heard of Matt Redman. I really enjoy listening to him and singing his songs, and even more recently reading some of his books. I seem to have read quite a few of them recently. But he wrote in this book, I won't lift it up because I'll knock things on. In his book, 10,000 Reasons, he writes, worship can help us gain a clearer sense of the big picture. When we worship, we let the throne set the tone, not our finances, our struggles, or our worst fears. The more we focus on God and who he is, the more we start to see the whole of our lives through that lens. We let the revelation of who Jesus is dictate the terms. We invite the glory of God to define our story. In the middle of one of life's storms, you're unlikely to feel like worshipping, let alone finding reasons for thanks and praise. But that is the discipline of worship, and worship is a choice we can always make. What about us? Are we willing to make that choice? To choose to worship in spite of all that's going on around us? I know for me, when I was walking through the PTSD, to keep worshipping and to keep reading the Bible, when I felt kind of dead and numb to life, I had to dig really deep. And it wasn't always easy. And I didn't always manage it. But I had to try and persevere. And I know in all of that, I would never in a million years have turned my back on God. But I seriously had to actively choose to pursue to know him more. I had to choose to love him with the strength that I had. And even though at times it felt little, very little and even feeble, but to love God with all my strength. It took all my strength to worship him. It took all my strength to pray. And maybe people that have walked through similar seasons will know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe if you've been through things less extreme, you can still know what I'm talking about. But the third aspect is loving God with our strength. Loving God with our strength is not only about loving him to the best of our ability by choosing to obey and all those things, but loving God with our strength is choosing to worship him whatever. Whatever the circumstance we're walking through. Like it says that if we don't praise his name, even the rocks will cry out, which kind of suggests the importance of actually we need to choose to be worshiping him because he's the one that deserves our worship. And that's what we're made for. We're made to be worshippers. And we need to use our strength to choose to worship him. He doesn't force us. And sometimes it may take every ounce of strength that we have in our body to choose to worship him, to choose to fully live out our love for God. But worship is not about us. And it's not primarily for us. But somehow, in God's kindness, it helps us. We need to choose to love God with our strength. Choose to daily spend time in his word, in prayer, speaking and singing out our thanks and praise. And it takes strength to choose to show God our love and devotion. And worship, even though I've said all these ways we worship, and even though we are created to worship, weirdly, it doesn't always come very naturally. I don't quite know why that is when that's what we're made for, but it doesn't. Well, worship of God, maybe. Worship generally probably does come quite naturally. That's how we easily slip into idolatry with all kinds of things. But again and again in the Psalms, and even Matt Redman's written some brilliant songs, the writers of the Psalms tell our soul to worship. It's like we need a kick up the butt to remind us to worship. It's like, hey, soul, don't forget what you're supposed to be doing. And I don't quite understand why that is, but God's obviously put it there because he knows it's something that people through the ages will struggle with, that we need that reminder. Even like the 10,000 Reasons song It's like, bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's saying, come on, soul, bless the Lord. You might not feel like it, but you need to bless him because this is what he's done. Psalm 103 starts with, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The psalmist is reminding his soul to praise God and then lists some of the reasons why. And those things are never changing. They're just as true for that psalmist. Oh, sorry, that's my reminder. It must be 9 o'clock. That's me to post the Bible reading for the Lent Bible reading. Sorry about that. Totally threw myself then. I should have just ignored him. Yet those things that the psalmist is writing to remind his soul about is just as true as it was all those thousands of years ago as it is for you today. Your soul needs a reminder to praise God because it's somehow easy not to. He still forgives your sin today. He still heals disease. He still redeems our life. He still crowns us with love and compassion. He still satisfies our desires with good things. And sometimes in the busyness of life, we need reminding of those things. And we need to remind ourselves, say, hey, soul, praise the Lord. Worship is good for our soul. In the process of worship, we tell God how great he is. But in the process, we also tell ourselves that we're known and loved by a gloriously powerful and gracious, kind God. The truth which comes into our mind is transformed by the Spirit in our heart and lived out in our strength, which speaks to our soul and enables us to worship and therefore helps us fulfill the greatest commandment. But we have a choice to make. To love God with our soul means to love him in the way we live and in the behavior and the lifestyle we adopt. How do we work things into our lifestyle that are in learning, so that we're learning the truth? What do we put in what do we fill our lives with that influences our heart? So often we easily do things which don't honour the Lord. And sadly, there's no quick fix. It's an ongoing journey. It takes discipline. We need to feed our souls with the truth so that we can love God more fully. And effort is needed to keep us growing in our relationships with God. Do our choices and actions always honour him? Do our thoughts always glorify him? Do we long for the things God wants us to long for? Or do we easily become distracted with the longings of this world? Which ultimately those things take our focus away from the Lord. Are we prepared to live in line with the truth of God's word, however hard, however countercultural, and whatever the cost? If we want to fully love God with our souls, we need to consider these things. And we need to remind ourselves, as David does in the Psalms. And all these things, our mind, our heart, our soul, our strength, it's all interlinked. We can't separate it out. You can't say, right, I've loved God with my mind, check. It doesn't kind of work like that. God wants our all. He wants us to be doing it with our whole self. He wants us to choose to love him with our heart and with our soul and with our mind and with all our strength. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth, not just in truth and not just in spirit, but in spirit and truth. He wants us to have that right balance. Not so crazy away spirit that we need peeling off the ceiling, and not so truth that we've lost the joy and we've lost the spirit bringing it to life in us. We need the right balance of spirit and truth. We need the Holy Spirit. But we don't play a passive part. It's not, oh, yeah, I've got the Holy Spirit, therefore I don't need to do any of this because the Holy Spirit's done the whole job lot for me. No. We've still got a part to play. We still need to actively choose. Worship is about what we choose to magnify. We love God through magnifying Him. It's when we magnify the wrong things that we start to get into trouble. Maybe your bank balance isn't in great shape right now. And it's all you can think about when you wake up in the morning. It's all you can think about when you go to sleep at night. Or perhaps you're walking through some friction in a relationship and you can't seem to see beyond it, and that's all you can focus on. It's easy to amplify the wrong things, and we can so quickly be consumed by these realities, and our hearts and minds easily become ruled by them. And of course, none of those things are irrelevant or insignificant to life, because in truth, they're very real, weighty burdens that we carry. But the problem becomes when, instead of extolling the glory and goodness of Christ Jesus, who rules and reigns over everything, we magnify these other factors instead. In worship, we learn to magnify His promises instead of our problems, His track record instead of our trials, and His faithfulness instead of our fears. We need to be filling our mind with the truth of His word, which in turn, by His Spirit, stirs our hearts and speaks into our souls. And when we choose to worship in the strength we have, we love God with our hearts, our mind, our soul, and our strength. So often we make our lives and even our worship about ourselves, but it's not. It's all about Jesus, loving and glorifying Jesus. So what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. We're just going to take some time just to respond and reflect and think a bit about what the Lord might have been speaking into our hearts and challenging us about. And I know I've covered a lot of stuff, and if it wasn't for my husband, there would have been an awful lot more in there too. But I just hope that God's been challenging you about something. Maybe it's about the amount of time you spend in the Word. Maybe it's about things that are consuming your heart. Maybe it's about the effort of your strength. And maybe we've let our souls get a bit lazy. I don't know. There may be things that I've not mentioned at all. But I just hope that the Lord has just been speaking to you and encouraging your heart. And on the tables in front of you, I did get one ready to bring up and then didn't bring it. There are some cards which has got Psalm 86 for just you take away and to pray over. And also there are some hearts, and I realised I didn't put any pens out. Sorry. Thank you, Claire. And just on that heart, they're just there for you to write on something that you feel the Lord's challenged you about. Maybe it is just worship. Maybe it's something more specific, but just for you to go and say, Lord, I want to commit this area to you. I want you to work in my life in this area so that I can love you in the way that you've commanded me to love you. And whilst we do that, there's going to be a song playing. And this song is called Every Day, and I'll just read you the words, just, and then it'll play, and you can just spend some time with the Lord. So the words say, Lord, I'm sorry for all that I've done. I'm just a sinner saved by your love. Though I'm broken, you make me strong. I'm only human with help from above. You called my name. Forever I'm healed by grace. Whenever I fall, you're always waiting for me. Oh, you're waiting for me. Every day I need you, Jesus. You're the Saviour, you're the healer, you'll always be. When I'm sinking, you help me breathe. Through every moment, you stand with me.